Those from Trinity know that I have a complicated relationship with the Gospel of Luke. John, I appreciate as a source of deep spiritual insight. Mark, I like because he tells it like it is and in an economy of words. Matthew, I respect for the Sermon on the Mount and his creative engagement with Judaism. But Luke, I have trouble with. I have trouble with Luke because both in his Gospel and in the Acts of the Apostles, Luke always seems to be arranging the flowers, trying to make things look picture perfect. As I say, Luke is the Instagrammer of the New Testament. There, in the Annunciation, the angel appears to Mary, whose lines sound just a little too practiced. Here am I, the servant of the Lord. There, in the infancy narrative, are the angels and the shepherds, and Mary and Joseph, and the child lying in the manger. Just so. There, in the presentation, is Simeon, looking forward to the consecration of Israel, and Anna, who never left the temple, but worshiped there night and day. Both so wholesome. And as those from Trinity know, with Luke, like my mother told me to do with people I find difficult, I'm trying to find something nice to say. Like, Luke does have a gift for arranging the flowers and making things picture perfect. How many artists have painted how many scenes from Luke's Gospel? The Annunciation, the Nativity, the Prodigal Son, the Supper at Emmaus. Luke does have a gift for crafting a perfect story. Acts chapter 27 contains some of the finest nautical writing in antiquity. When the 14th night had come, as we were drifting across the Sea of Adria, about midnight, the sailors suspected that we were nearing land. Go check it out. Luke does have a gift for organized and clear writing. In chapter 4, for example, Luke manages to sum up the entirety of Jesus' ministry in a few lines from Isaiah. The Spirit has anointed me to bring good news to the poor, to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And Luke, I've got to hand it to him. He hardly has a bad word to say about anybody. Luke is nicer in his portrayal of the disciples than either Matthew or Mark, whose disciples have little and no faith, respectively. Luke glosses over the despotism of King Herod. He omits entirely the story of John's beheading and is kinder to Pontius Pilate than the other evangelists. In Luke, Pilate and even Herod come across as almost regular guys. And Luke has none of Matthew's "woe to you scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites," or of John's questionable and recurring phrase, "the Jews." Indeed, for Luke, any energy directed against the scribes and Pharisees seems not so much personal as it does in Matthew and John, as it is Luke's need for a villain, because Luke, a master storyteller, knows that villains make for good stories. Which brings us to today's gospel lesson. It is easy in hearing today's gospel lesson to hear the familiar trope of Pharisees equal rigid adherence to the law. Jesus sets free from the law. The leader of the synagogue, indignant that Jesus had cured on the Sabbath, kept saying, "There are 6 days on which work ought to be done. Come on those days and be cured, and not on the Sabbath." But the Lord answered and said to him, "Ought not this woman be set free from bondage on the Sabbath?" It is easy in today's gospel lesson to hear the familiar trope of Pharisees equal rigid adherence to the law. Jesus sets free from the law. But I don't think that's what Luke is trying to say. Given that Luke doesn't have an axe to grind against the Pharisees or Judaism generally, given that Luke loves and knows how to tell a good story, given that Luke is clear in regards to the purpose of Jesus' ministry, I think the focus in today's lesson is simply about being set free and being set free now. Like the woman bent over for 18 years, we all have spirits that keep us bent over now. Like the woman, all of us are in some way crippled and perhaps have been for years, even now. Luke's gospel is all about being set free, being released from whatever it is that binds us, and being released now. Not waiting for the Sabbath to be over, not because there might be a better time. Luke's message is that whenever and wherever we are in need of healing, Jesus is here to bring good news, to proclaim release, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, and that today, now, this scripture is fulfilled in our hearing. Luke seems not to care about the us versus them of the Pharisees versus Jesus, or the law versus freedom from the law. If Luke shows any such partisanship, it's because Luke knows that a good story needs a good protagonist with a worthy adversary. What Luke is concerned about is our healing and wholeness, and finding that healing and wholeness now. Not waiting until the Sabbath is over or for a better time, because Jesus is here now and wants to release us and set us free now. Tradition says that Luke was, after all, a physician. A physician who knew that our fullest, most lasting healing is found in Jesus. Regardless of how or how much or how long we may have been bent over or held captive or oppressed or in any way bound and in need of healing, in Jesus, Luke reminds us, is our hope for healing, for release, now.